in his image. What did the Lord, our Father, actually mean when he said that? Let me break part of it back to the Hebrew for you. He said to the Elohim, that is to say, God and the angels. That's plural. Okay. Let us make man in our image. The word image, I'm going to call from the Septuagint because we're going to go directly to the New Testament, so I want to use the word in the Greek. Image in the Hebrew kind of means a phantom, one that looks exactly like. But from the Septuagint, we catch the better meaning, for the word in the Greek is charakter, charakter for image. And the etymology of it is that it's a die, okay? Like if you were going to make a penny that you carry in your pocket, you place, this is not the way we do it, but this is the way they did it then. You put the copper there, and you strike the die, and it leaves a perfect image, just like the die. And I think it's important that we take it to that depth, for when Christ touches you, I don't like to use the word mark, but the cast is made. He touches you. And when he is in you, then you are in him. And perhaps the machinist could better understand what I'm saying, but the Lord God Almighty uses natural things whereby we can get a better idea overall of the spiritual message he wishes to convey to you. That if Christ is in you and you in him, that die has, that cast has touched you, and you, it'll change him. You know, I know some of you, I know what you used to be and I know what you are today. I like the person that I got today instead of the one I had yesterday. I really am not thinking about one living soul. Really. Maybe I'm thinking about myself, okay? But anyway, I guarantee you, that's what it does to people, all right. But the main thing I want you to capture is the reason God could say Emmanuel, which is being converted to say, translated to say God with us. Why Jesus could say, if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. Why? It's a perfect cast. A perfect die. Though he was in the flesh, he looked exactly like a Father, our God. I suppose what I want to get to here is to let you know that God will never ask you to do something that he hasn't done himself. You know, a lot of people might say, well, put this in these old flesh bodies, especially when you get a few miles on it, you know. Why would he do that? Well, he did it himself. You know, he didn't hide something, and he didn't ask you to do something he hadn't done himself. You know, I'm going to tell you something. As an old military person, a good leader will never ask his people to do something he's not willing to show them how. Get in there and do it yourself. Okay, this was a long time before we had political correctness. Okay. Where people are so sensitive. Oh, dear goodness. Discernment and knowing a heart is a beautiful thing without having to go through a bunch of socialist, psychopathic rhetoric. Okay. I guess you can tell I'm kind of steamed a little bit at certain things that are going on right now, be that as it may, okay? Back to the message. When you see that Son, you see the Father, and he was here to show us how to do it. This is why it's real easy for me if someone says, well, should I be baptized? Well, was Christ? I mean, that was Emmanuel, God with us. He saw fit to be baptized. So should I be? Well, the answer is pretty positive. I mean, it's easy, isn't it? It's just natural. He showed us the way. Why? Because it was symbolic. Baptism is symbolic of his going into the tomb and you knowing that he rose out of that tomb. As you rise out of that water, and you are changed because death is defeated, which is to say Satan. Just like that. Period. That's what it's about. Okay? Anyway, let us make man in our image. Well, who were all these people? I said before, we talked a little bit about Jeremiah. God saying in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, hey, I knew you before you ever entered your mother's womb. Well, how could he possibly do that? Because he was with God. He was one of the Elohim, okay? Just as you were, as everyone was. If it's a little heavy, put it on the shelf and let it rest there a while, okay? God has servants, and God has children. His whole plan in utilizing his servants is to help his children. I don't care if they're good, bad, ugly, in between, or what. God wants his children helped. So they are made in their image for that purpose, that son that God could trust because they stood against Satan in the first rebellion. And he knows that they've got the courage and the brass horns to stand up and not be intimidated by words of man, but would live by the word of God. So, therefore, the cast, the die is set. And when the hammer of the Spirit hits it and touches you, do I want to say you're touched? I don't. You are by the Spirit, but I want to be careful how I handle that. That's an old term for some of you young people may not know that a guy really, his elevator stops short of the top. You know, well, I know you're not that way. Okay. But once Christ comes into your life, it makes a difference. That's why he said, I want you to be a little bit salty. Why salt makes a difference. When you put salt in your beans or on your eggs, they taste different. Well, he expects his elect to make a difference. Not a big difference, but enough that people are drawn to that. Now, having said that, it was his order. That was one of the first plans and orders of the day, was to create Elohim. Why? Well, a third of them had chased after Satan and worshipped him. That's scriptural. Okay? Revelation chapter 12. And he didn't want to lose them. He wanted to offer them salvation. That's why, as God's elect, your duties in serving God are very important. Because God loves those lost ones. He does. And he certainly didn't send one of his elect down here to be a goody-goody two-shoes and too good to even talk to a sinner, but to be able to help if the opportunity prevails. Okay, you don't go around forcing yourself on people. You protect your credibility. You quite frankly are such good bait, you draw them to you. Okay. Good bait, you don't chunk at the fish, they're drawn to it. Okay. And that's a good analogy. If you live your life natural, and people see that you handle problems well, they're going to seek you out for advice if they're in trouble. That's just the way it is, and that's the way God utilizes his children in seed planting and simply in life. Open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. A letter by Paul to the Colossians. And he will be talking about this situation. I think it's appropriate that this being that time of conception, where things do make a difference, where he makes a difference. Chapter 1, the great book of Colossians, and that word of wisdom from our Father, let's pick it up with verse 12, and it reads, "Giving thanks unto the Father," don't ever forget to do that, "which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Okay. Light is truth. You know, not everyone's mind can be opened up whereby the truth can just filter in, whereby they can see and understand and receive that truth from both the first earth age, this age, and the one to come. To be able to see it with clarity and in the simplicity, I repeat, simplicity in which Christ taught it. That's important. You were teaching Luke now. Luke meaning light giver. Okay. Light dispels darkness in your life. Man only fears the unknown. Well, that'll shake you up in a hurry. But when you look ahead and understand, do your homework, research it, and know what you're going to gain from making that move, that action that goes a little bit into the unknown, and it alleviates that factor of the unknown, whereby you can either go under, over, around, or through, whichever it takes to get it done, okay? But God Himself made you fit to be a part of the inheritance. That means you're in the will of God, and you are to inherit what He has for you, and He owns everything. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. His dear Son being Emmanuel, God with us. The one we were just speaking of. Has delivered us from the power of darkness. Why? You know, a lot of people say, well, He delivered us, listen to me carefully, He delivered us by giving us power over darkness. If you don't use it, then you better get you a strong flashlight. You're going to need it. Okay. But He gives you power over darkness, where that die that has hit you, that has cast, that has changed you, shines forth that light, reflects the light of Christ, and brings truth into your life, whereby you, utilizing the authority and power that God has given you, order darkness out of your life. Get rid of it. You don't have time for it. Who wants to mess with it? Okay? When you start messing around with darkness all the time, bad things, negative things in your life, and just, I mean, one right after the other, without simply just putting a stop to it, you may not be the sharper, the brightest nickel on the block. Luke 10, we're going to get there when we're teaching Luke 10, chapter 10. Jesus gives us power and authority over all our enemies, all darkness. That's great. Stop and think about it. How strong is your faith? And that power, I know you've heard me say what that power means. Is it just something that we can just gently? Well, whatever strength has to go, because the word in the Greek is dunamis. You've heard of dynamite? That's where it comes from. The word dynamite comes from dunamis. And you utilize whatever is necessary to protect your credibility, but to get the job done. Okay. That's why they will say, there goes a child of God. There goes a child of God. One, the die hit him. It was cast. And it reflects. Okay. The power from His dear Son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I got some bad news for you. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed it, but we're all a bunch of sinners. Okay? We're going to forget every once in a while, and we're going to sin. Now, anytime a person thinks they've risen above sin totally, you're kidding yourself. You're not a realist. That's why that you want to repent and know that He loves you and to straighten it out. Okay? What is sin? Sin is to transgress God's law. Okay? Why? Well, is the law bad then? No, the law is good. It keeps us out of trouble. Okay, but we all make mistakes. Okay, His blood. The reason He came to this earth in the image of His Son was to be that sacrifice to show you how that on repentance he would say, child, you're forgiven. I mean, he wants to forgive people. He doesn't want to zap them, okay? He wants to forgive you. All you have to do, he gets no pleasure whatsoever from sending somebody to hell when that judgment time comes. That's what this is all about, is our Father trying to avoid that. Oh, it'll happen. There'll be some go. But he, it's still beside the fact he doesn't get any pleasure from it. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And again, who is the image of the invisible God? In the dimension you're in now, you can't see God. He would be invisible to you. But Christ, that word image there, caricature, you know, it comes out an English word, basically. It's the caricature that is on the cast that you're going to strike the coin with, okay? And makes the character. Okay, we're playing with where the English word came from, but we're speaking Greek here, okay? Why? Because that's what the manuscripts are, and we want to know what he said. He's the exact, when that die was cast and hit him, he looked exactly as the invisible God, if God came to this dimension, which he can very easily do. When he comes to this dimension, but what did he do? He sent his son, whereby he's showing us, you know, if he was Emmanuel, God with us, and it was Christ that died on the cross, don't you see that your Father did that for you? If it was God with us, God died on that cross also, fleshly, showing us how to get it done. Okay, did it for us. That's a lot of love, friend. A lot of love. Our Father cares about us. Is it any wonder that when you tell him, Father, I love you, it melts his heart. It makes him feel good. And he says, child, you're going to be all right. I'll take care of you. Use common sense. Use your head. Because he likes to be proud of his children. But there, this son was the firstborn of many. Christ was with him when the earth was created. Okay. And this is why we're going to go into Melchizedek today, and it's important that you know that. Melchizedek was Christ walking the earth. What does Melchizedek mean? Melchor, king in the Hebrew, Zedek, just, peace, the king of Salem. How many real true kings of peace do we have? One. So there's no great mystery to it. There's only, have you ever known any earthly king that has brought eternal peace? I don't think so. You know why? They kick the bucket and they're gone and stuff goes in a handbasket. Okay? But we got one that's not going to die. Okay? He died once for us in the flesh, but he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's eternal and forever. To take your case, he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. It doesn't matter what dimension it's in, okay? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For God's will to accomplish what? Try to save as many of his children as he could. Now, he's not going to force himself upon anyone. You've got to understand, well, I heard he's there at that door knocking. He's not a beggar, friend. When he knocks on your door, you better know who's knocking, and you better see who's there, and you better let him in. Okay? Do it according to his word. All right? Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, you want to talk about power, get a hold of that. Hang on to it. Think about it. Meditate on it. 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. You know, that very scripture, do you know what it's saying? That's what is being explained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, that people make the rapture doctrine out of, okay? What does it actually say? If you were to read it immediately following this, what it says is, if you know that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, went to the Father, then you know that all the rest of the dead have risen also and are with him in paradise. And someday we who are even alive and remain at the last trump will be changed and meet him in the air. Only the word air in the Greek is breath of life body, meaning spiritual body. So really what it is, instead of rapture doctrine, is we're the dead. They're with him. To be absent from this body, present with the Lord. Okay. He was the first. And he has the power. What did he do immediately? Well, what about all those people that died before he was born? The only begotten son. They didn't have salvation. He took it to them. Okay. You can read about it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, where he went to the captives and preached to them. And in chapter 4, it will tell you many of those prisoners found freedom. Why? They accepted him. God is always fair to all of his children. Okay. So he was the first. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You don't have to look anywhere else, okay? Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He plays both bases, friend. Stop and think about that. Whether it's in earth or whether it's in heaven. Well, how can he do that? Because he's in heaven now, and he's in earth now. He's sitting on the right hand of God, on the very throne of God, Emmanuel, God with us also. Okay. And I'm talking power now to stabilize yourself in knowing when you are in him, you become a person that our Father likes to utilize, likes to bless, likes to receive the love from his children, likes to use them because he can trust them. Okay, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Just a few books ahead from where you are there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews was a letter written by Paul also, although it was written to the Hebrews, which simply is a word that means they crossed the river. They crossed the river Euphrates, okay? But he knew that they had the knowledge of the Torah. So he could speak in a little different level, and that throws many students off thinking Paul didn't write this. It's a little different. Not who he wrote it to that makes it a little different. That's simple. Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times, many times, and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. I mean, he used old Isaiah, Jeremiah. He used the 12 prophets, the minors, all of them to bring us message to, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He was with him. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, there's the die again, okay, the cast, the exact image, and the express image of his person. You couldn't tell the difference. And upholding all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged out sins. Where did he do that? At the cross, of course. Set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. How long is he going to sit at the right hand of God? Until all of the enemies are made his footstool. Well, now, wait a minute. I would think he would come back down here and kind of get things squared away here whereby maybe he'd take care of those enemies. What do you think he's got you for? What do you think you're supposed to do? You think he just wants to look at you? He has people on earth to do his work. And now, well, then that must mean I'm... No, just, you know, we're a pretty large body. Overall, I'm not talking about just Shepherd's Chapel. I'm talking about people that follow Christ that have been hit by that die all over the world. We get it done. Okay. We don't give up ground. We take ground. Okay? And his enemies, if you're willing to serve, he'll back you up. And when the false one appears as furious Messiah, he's even going to back you up to the point that it won't be you talking, but God himself through you, through the Holy Spirit. And we're going to take care of the enemies. We're given that power and that authority. So you want to realize you're important. Now, I don't want to have to take a needle and, you know, let the air out here or anything. That's just common. That's natural. Good must always combat evil. That's just the way it is, and that's the way God made us. Okay. Quite frankly, we can't help ourselves. I guarantee you, we can't help ourselves. I doubt that there's a person in this room that hasn't already kind of went against God's will when he said, I don't want you premeditating what you're going to say to Satan when you're delivered up. I'd lay odds that there's not a person in this room that hasn't said, I know what I'd like to tell him. Okay. But he's in control, and he's going to stay there. All right. Now, verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? He didn't. And again, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me the son. And mind you, see, he was the only begotten. When God said, let us make man in our image, plural, only one could look like him because he is one God. But angels are simply, what does the word angel mean? It means messenger. And, you know, one of them God sent back to Daniel. And boy, when Daniel saw that angel, he fell down and started worshiping. He said, hey, get up from there. I'm a fellow servant just like you. Get up. You know, God just sent me down here to give you a little word. Okay. So, keep things in perspective. All right? Keep things in perspective. There's a big difference between he that was made in the perfect image of God and you. Okay, naturally. 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and that all the angels of God worshiped him. And they did. They rejoiced. Why? Messiah was on earth. He was born to that virgin, just as it was written in the Old Testament. 7. And the angels, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? God said, Christ would say in another place, I come to this earth to bring a fire, not necessarily peace. Another place he said a sword, not necessarily peace. And it will turn family against family. But how blessed I will feel if I find that fire already kindled. Fan it, my friend. Fan that spirit in your heart, in your mind, and make a difference. Okay? Verse 8, you know, many people have it in their mind that fire is harmful and hurtful and everything. Don't forget it also purifies. And that's what's meant here, okay? It purifies. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, what did he say to the Son? Listen to these words. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. It's always right and it's always just. That's how you can tell a real person of God. Though you're not going to find a human that's absolutely perfect, they're going to try at least to do everything right, fair. Verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, that's to say lies and falsehoods. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And praise God he did. He was our Father, cut the way, did the cross. For by own repentance, you're a free person. That's how much he loves you. And thou, verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. You made them. 11. They shall perish. They're going to pass away. Okay, this, not the terra firma, the, I'll say it in Hebrew, arets, but this earth age, governments, they're going to pass away. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. This earth age is going to wax old. It's going to play out. But God's word never changes. And the world that is coming is eternal. And what world is it? It's the same one, rejuvenated as it's written in Revelation 21, verse 1. Verse 12, and as a vesture shall fold them up, shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. You're going to change in the twinkle of an eye at the seventh trump. We're going into that dispensation where God is no longer invisible. This is why it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, that flesh cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? It's in the wrong dimension. Okay, you got it? Verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Verse 14, that's Psalms 110, verse 1, in case you don't know. You read the whole Psalms 110, I think it's got 6 or 8 verses. It'd be good for you to read it to home study. 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I don't know. Are you? The answer is yes. God can use you. And it doesn't mean you're supposed to make some big splash. None of us are supposed to. Just do His word, all right? Turn on over to Hebrews chapter 2 while we're right here. And let's pick it up, if we may, in about verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels when he was in the flesh. Now you got it. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Only when he tasted death, he trumped it. He beat it. He overcame it. He destroyed death, or will ultimately. You might say it already is, because only your flesh will see death. Your spiritual body steps right into the eternity with Him. All right? And verse 10, for it became Him, for whom all are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into His glory, bringing salvation, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. There's that exact image again, perfect, through sufferings. Beloved, it was necessary that he suffered to show you how to cut it. Think about that.
Well, life just gets so tedious.
Well, gang up on it, okay? Don't let it get you down. Usually, it is your negative fear or fear of the negativity that is going to get you in trouble anyway. It's called worry, just to simplify it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You want to know a big secret? Worry never saved anybody. All worry won't add 1 second to your life. If you, instead of worrying, if you will spend that time being constructive to fix whatever is broke, you know, and pray about it and go for it, okay? You may fall flat on your face, but God will love you for having tried anyway. You think of another way, pray about it and say, Lord, I'm not a quitter. I'm hanging tough. I'm still here. And pretty soon he's got to say, wow, that's my boy, that's my girl. I am so proud of him. What do you think of them, Satan? And Satan's probably going to say, I can take them. No problem. Well, don't let him, okay? And of course, I'm referencing what happened to Job. That's exactly what it was. 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Do you know something? He's not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed to call you brother or sister. Brethren, family. It's great. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Do you know what that's quoting? Psalms 22, verse 23, where he was hanging on the cross. Written 1,000 years before it come to pass. Man can't do that. God can. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And he was quoting scripture there, 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh, you are because you're here, beloved. I mean, if you pinch yourself, it's going to hurt. Why? You're in the flesh. Flesh and blood. He also himself, likewise, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He died on that cross. He was placed in a flesh body, so that as the righteous God Almighty, when the sons of Cain were crying, crucify him. He was God on that cross. Emmanuel, God with us. Then he now has the right, when the lake of fire is opened in Revelation chapter 20, to say, son, you did it to me, now march. And he's going in that lake of fire, which simply, he doesn't burn forever and ever. His smoke goes up forever and ever, okay? It's a nice thought, isn't it? Well, verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Don't be put in bonds, friend, okay? You're a free soul. God has given you the right to live in these flesh bodies. And I'll say you Americans, in as much as we're international on television, I have to say, in this nation, we're especially blessed, okay? Because you're free. You don't have to go down here to the city hall to get a pass to go to Kansas City. Go on to Kansas City. You just take off, okay? And that's it. And that's a lot to be thankful for, my friend. I've been serving in the military. I've been in a lot of places where that doesn't work, okay? For the people, okay? It just doesn't. He set us free. And anytime someone preaches a religion to you that puts you in bondage, rebuke it. Okay. Because many churches like to hold people by bondage. I'm not judging them. But anytime someone teaches you a Christ that doesn't set you free, for the truth always will, you're in the wrong place. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Could have, supernatural. divine. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, like flesh, to show you he could cut it, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He was tempted of Satan in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. And he came through shining to show you that you, he didn't eat for 40 days and he still trumped Satan. Don't let Satan get under your hide. Order him out of your life. And do it with vigor. Okay? Don't put up with it. Don't let him rule your family around. You don't have to. Christ came to this earth to be born in the flesh to show us how to cut it. See that you, when that cast touches you, become like that father. Okay? For the almonds never fall too far from the tree. So be like your father when that cast hits you, okay? And let's finish. Take 18 for the completion. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Secure, that's a legal guarantee, friend. It's not just idle words. He can secure you. If you want to, I was just talking about setting you free, he can put an anchor to your britches and make sure you make it. If you look at his example and get out there and hook it, I mean get it on with faith, knowing you're a child of God. He wasn't too good to be born in the flesh to show you how to do it. So don't be afraid to look at him and take the example, all right, and get after it. Okay, take names, kick dragon, all right, get tough with them if you have to, but always be kissy kissy, you know, if it'll get it done. If it don't, you know, I'm talking about doing what's right now, not making trouble for anybody. You might say, well, my neighbor is a terrible sinner. Do you think I should go over there and straighten him out? Nope. I mean, don't be nosy. You know, he might say, why don't you mind your own business? If your neighbor, being a big sinner, though, should come to you and say, why is it? I'll use an example. Someone came to my house one time at Christmas and said, I don't understand it. Your whole family's been together here for 2 days. It might have been Thanksgiving, I don't know, sometime. And he said, there had been one fight. And I looked at him like, what in the world are you talking about? We're family, you know. If we're going to do our fighting, we're going to get out behind the barn. Private, we don't fight. You talk things out, you know. But I found out that his family does fight, and I ain't saying nothing else about this. Anyway, God set the way and shows us how to do it, okay? How to get it done. Turn on with me to chapter 5. We're going to wind this down here, but this is really important now, so really stay vivacious for me here in your mind. Keep your mind sharp. Keep it working here. This is important. Chapter 5, and let's see verse 6. And he said, we're still concerning Christ. And he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's Psalms 110, verse 4. Now, again, it's important that you know what the word Melchizedek means. It means King of Peace. There's only one, and that's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus Christ. Hey, don't let it stretch your mind. He was with God when everything was made. So don't think it a mystery that he showed up when Abraham was already born. That was many years down the road. Got it? Stay with me. 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He did it exactly as God had instructed him to, speaking of the cross. 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That do what? There's a condition there. That obey him. At least try. You're going to slip up, but all you have to do is repent. He paid the price, and he'll say, it's okay. It's okay. I'm with you. Let's get it together now, and let's hit it again. All right? Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, if you take this message to much of the world, that this is going to be the case. They're not going to know what you're talking about. They don't know about the first earth age. And that's, does that make them all sinners? No. That's just the way it is. 12, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, if you go to church for 30 years and all you do is sit on the front row and hear salvation preached, where was the teaching of the Word of God? Where's the rest of the letter? Where's the depth? How do you know what you're supposed to do? They didn't. Okay, that's what he's saying. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Some of them not even potty trained yet, okay? But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That means mature, using common sense, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are your senses exercised? That means your mind. Do you use your mind? You should. Always look ahead. Look down the road. Is trouble coming? Then let's detour. It may be trouble that we want. If it is, then go through it. Okay? Take care of it. Take care of business. Nobody's going to take care of your business but you. Okay? The Lord will help you, but you got to stand up with the staff and say, this is the way it is. I've figured it out. Put your mind to it and stay strong in the Word of God. Okay? Chapter 7. We're going to come, this will be our last place. Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, peace, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. You could understand now why Jesus said to those that were Kenites, the sons of Satan, in John chapter 8, when he said, before Abraham was, I am. I have seen Abraham. This was it. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Three, without father here on earth, you understand, without mother here on earth, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Made to look exactly like the Son of God. Why? Because it was the Son of God. When he was struck with that die, that made him look exactly like Almighty God. Okay? That's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi. Now, who's Levi? There's a reason we're here now. Sharpen up for me. They were the priest line. The sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of people according to the law, and is of their children through, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. 6, but he whose descent, his pedigree, is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. I mean, he wasn't born of the Levitical priesthood. He didn't have a, I mean, he was the son of God. Melchizedek, that is. 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Abraham knew, okay? He discerned. And here, men that die receive tithes. But there he receiveth them, of whom it is written that he liveth. He never dies. Okay? We have one priest, and that's Christ. And as I may say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes to Abraham, in Abraham, rather. You know why? He was in his loins, okay? For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. 11. If therefore perfection, that's to say salvation, were by the Levitical priesthood. Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. Let me ask you a question. What tribe was Christ from? He wasn't, well, they didn't say he was from Levi. He said he was from the tribe of Judah. I just want to wake your mind up a little bit here. And therefore perfection or salvation were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest, Christ, should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. That is, that you're to open your mind up and see how that die was cast, okay? For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar, the tribe of Judah. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude, the likeness of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. How did this come to pass? You see, the beauty is God didn't break his own rules. Christ was. Because people do not study the simplicity. All of you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, were cousins. Now, how do you get to be cousins? That means that one of the other of your parents is a brother or a sister. Well, in Mary's case, Elizabeth's mother and Mary's mother were both sisters. And Elizabeth's genealogy is given as a pure daughter of Aaron in Luke chapter 1. She was not of the tribe of Judah. Neither was Mary's mother. But the genealogy of Mary given in Luke 3 is of Mary's father. Okay. And the Mary's father was of Judah. So Mary was half Levite and half of Judah. Therefore, that die that was cast brought together both the priest and the king line, and he is now all in all, after the order of Melchizedek, forever. It simplified the whole thing. I hope it doesn't sound like a mishmash, and I hope that came through. You know what cousins are, and you know where it's recorded in Luke chapter 1. It's real easy. But we see this priesthood as it is solved, that Christ became in the likeness of the Father. And God, inasmuch as he is Father of all, has brought forth this beautiful thing to bring salvation to you, to me, to the world, that will obey, that will listen, that will believe. He's there for you all the time. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. It is difficult sometimes for people to see through Emmanuel, but it's very important that you do. I hope this has been a blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the written word. Thank you, Father, for the simplicity in which Melchizedek, in which Christ himself teaches, that brings that truth to the front and assures and secures our salvation. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books,